Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
It's a Winner's Wednesday. Yes, we're continuing. The Raiders are 2-0. You gotta take that for what you can for a little while. It doesn't last very long. It is the Not For Long League. The Silver and Black Citizens still basking in the glow, of course, with the big Monday night football win here in Las Vegas. As the rising star of Darren Waller continues to ascend, the hot start of Derek Carr continues to confuse the haters and the doubters. But hey, it's all about consistency in the NFL. And are the Raiders on the cusp of breaking out? Or are they just kind of in a little bit of a streak, you know, a short little streak to start the season? We'll have to see as they have a big battle coming up on the road this week in New England against the Patriots. We're going to talk all about that today. First, I bring in my co-host, Q Myers. Q, it's Wednesday. That means we're closer to football.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, and it's nice to see the Raiders get off to the start that they have, 2-0 on the season. But like you mentioned, man, got a real tough game coming up on Sunday against the Patriots in Foxborough with what looks to be a healthy Cam Newton. So it should be interesting. It should be fun.
And a reminder that the Silver and Black Today is powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what is right. Good friends of mine. These are good people. I don't just say that because they pay us to. I mean that. So make sure you check out Salmon Ash. In addition, don't forget Q and I, we power up before every show with Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. You can check them out at drjensnutrition.com. Use the code SBT10. You'll get a special discount only for our listeners. Plus, you get free shipping. You can also pick it up at local health food stores here in Las Vegas, including Terrible Herbs, which is not a health food store. But when you're fueling up on gas.
Do I want to know what kind of store it is?
Terrible Herbst? It's a convenience store, gas station.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, you're right. I've been there. My bad.
You're stopping in to grab, you know, an energy drink plus a protein bar, something like that. So you can find them there. Make sure you check out Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars at drjensnutrition.com. On today's show, a couple things we're going to do. First, we'll get a little bit, some breaking news in a second, and then we will have at the bottom of the hour, ethical skeptic. Yes. Are the Raiders victims of bias by the NFL over their history the last 60 years in the league? I know what Raider Nation believes, Q. Raider Nation would say yes without question, right?
Well, of course. You know, that's been the narrative for Raider Nation forever. You know, and there's a lot to, and you know, I've seen all the reports and I've seen all the, you know, studies and everything. So it's an interesting conversation, but I mean, it's part of being part of Raider Nation as far as I'm concerned.
There you go. It just comes along with the citizenship, right?
Yeah, man.
So Ethical Skeptic will join us. We had him on our show on the previous station, one of the most popular shows and downloads we've ever had, including the story we put up on the website. You can find it up on the website, too, on silverandblacktoday.com, where this all started. So make sure you check it out. So we're going to have him on. He'll go through that. Now, of course, Raiders off to a good start when it comes to penalties, but will it last?
Don't jinx it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll see. It's sort of like calling, hey, he's got a no-hitter in the third inning, right? So we'll see. We'll talk to Ethical Skeptic about that, and then we'll hear what you guys have to say. Then top of the next hour, top of the 3 o'clock hour, Nick Shook from NFL.com wrote a great piece on Darren Waller today. We're going to talk to Nick about Darren Waller. Suddenly, Q, the world seems surprised by Darren Waller. Nick was not, but the world seems surprised by Darren Waller. But I remember 90 catches last year. How's he surprised?
Well, this is Monday Night Football. It's a different animal.
Yep.
Monday Night Football, Las Vegas. You got the attention of the world, not just Raider Nation, not just your diehard football fans, but you got the attention of everybody when you're on that stage. And so it just lets you know Raider Nation is so dialed in. And so guys like Waller is not a surprise. But to a lot, you know, and I had a lot of people texting me on Monday night, hey, man, that's a real deal tight end right there. I like him. And I'm thinking the same thing you just said. Well, where the hell were you all 90 catches ago last season?
Exactly. I mean, he was the story of the year in my book last year in the NFL. So we'll talk to Nick Shook from NFL.com about Darren Waller. We'll also hear what Bill Belichick had to say about Darren Waller. Then we'll have the Q-tip. Of course, the Q-tip. And then later on, towards the end of the show, Vinny Bonsignor, of course, who hosts, in the huddle at 4 o'clock. Vinny, of course, the beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal covering the Raiders. We're going to talk to him. Just one last bow to tie on the win, including the offensive play. But also we'll ask him how much did the defense improve and what about that pass rush. We'll get Vinny's thoughts on that towards the end of the show. Also, breaking news at this hour, Richie Incognito placed on injured reserve with that Achilles injury, which was actually... He was on the injury list last week with it, but it only limited him in practice. But he is officially on the reserve IR. In addition to that, the Raiders injury report keeps getting longer. Not necessarily serious injuries. We don't know. We don't have details yet. But as of today, of course, Jonathan Abram was a full participant in practice. That's good news, as was Damon Arnett. So there's the good news for you. Bad news, Trent Brown did not participate again in practice, nor did Denzel Good. With a thumb slash illness, as it's listed. Brian Edwards was limited with a foot injury of some sort. Then you know about Incognito. Josh Jacobs with a hip did not participate in practice today, nor did Nick Kwiatkowski with that pectoral injury, as well as Carl Nassib, the defensive end, with an illness. Unsure on that one. Good news, Renfro, Ruggs, Simpson, all full participants. Darren Waller did not participate, listed as a knee. So not sure what that is either. And Sam Young with a groin. So, Q, that list is getting a little bit longer, but at the same time, you start playing games, guys get banged up, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to miss a game.
No, not at all. And a lot of times Wednesdays, teams give guys off. You know, they'll just give them those days off for Veterans Days. And especially with what's going on this year and the way everything has been and all the injuries, how they've been piling up major injuries across the league. I look at a lot of those and say, okay, like Darren Waller, he's probably a little bruised on his knee. Okay, just to give him the day off because, well, going to need him in a major way on Sunday, you know. So there's a lot of those guys that's how I look at them. I think Josh Jacobs is probably the same way. His hip, you can see it was banging up and it was bothering him on Monday. Just believe that he's probably just going to work it out and he'll be out there on Sunday.
That's right. Now, Q, I wanted to talk about this because the Raiders clearly got some attention. They've been getting a little bit of love. I say a little bit of love because of the performance on Monday night. Now, there's a lot of folks out there making excuses on why the Raiders did well. Oh, Drew Brees didn't perform well. Last time I checked, Drew Brees wasn't playing defensive back or linebacker or defensive line for the Saints. Nonetheless, but they've been getting some love. So the power rankings, as you know, the power rankings usually come out on Tuesday, Wednesday, most publications. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of run down, like, where are these folks on believing in the Raiders? It's only been 2 weeks. Remember what I said yesterday, come on the air. You should feel good about it. But it's early. You won't know who teams are until week 4 or 5. But we look at the rankings. NFL.com, the Raiders move from 15 to 19. Pardon me. They trail the 49ers in that category. It's to be expected despite their injuries. And the Patriots, who they're playing on Sunday, number 10. ESPN has the Raiders at 13.
Hold on.
Yo.
I'm trying to digest this. You said the Raiders moved from 15 to 19?
Excuse me. They moved to 15 from 19.
From 19.
Correct.
Okay, my bad.
Correct. That's okay. That's all right.
All right. Yeah.
You thought they fell?
Yeah, wait a minute.
That would be typical, wouldn't it?
I mean, it's happened, yeah.
Yeah, but no, they move up to 15. Then ESPN has them ranked as 13, up from 17. Okay, so the four spots there, very similar to NFL.com. Patriots also number 10 there as well. The Athletic has the Raiders at 15, the Saints at number 10, by the way. And the Patriots at number 7. So interesting. And Pro Football Focus has the Raiders at number 15 as well. Common theme. So in three of those, they're number 15. The Bears at number 14 at 2-0. Patriots at number 9. So clearly, they're moving up the list. But I think these are useful only in that, first of all, they don't mean anything. But they're useful in looking at kind of how the national outlook and what are people thinking of the Raiders, okay? And I think what this shows you is, okay, they're playing well, but people aren't convinced. And frankly, that makes sense. You listen to Derek Carr in his press conference today. You listened over the weekend. You listened to John Gruden yesterday. Look, 2-0 doesn't mean anything. You haven't accomplished anything. You've won two games. That's great. off to a good start. But Q, again, we talked about it at the beginning with Darren Waller. Consistency is king, and you got to be able to show, for example, that you can go on the road and beat a good team like New England.
Exactly. I mean, again, those rankings and everything, it's nice to kind of monitor them and see what people are talking about you nationally. But we all know how Raider Nation is with national talking heads anyway. Most of them are angry at national guys. And like I said before, the reason why you don't get a lot of credit and Raiders don't get a lot of credit nationally is because these guys aren't locked in and paying attention like the guys that cover on the daily and cover on the regular and the beat writers like Vinny and Vic Tafer and Tashawn Reed and cats like that. You know, they're locked in and they're paying attention to what's going on all the time. So a lot of things that we see, Scott, it does not surprise us. But then all of a sudden a national head like a Colin Cowherd or someone like that comes out and says something. It's like, oh, my God. Can't believe getting this kind of recognition. Well, they're not locked in. They got someone feeding them information in their ear most of the time anyway.
Yeah, when you're covering national sports and an entire league versus like what we get to do, we get to cover one team. Very fortunate. Although you do radio in Central Texas, so you're covering the wide variety of sports. So you have a little more of a worldly view, I think, than most that cover the Raiders, at least on a general basis. But you look at Sports Illustrated too, our friend Hondo Carpenter's publication, they have them at 11. And nice. Pete Prisco at CBS, who does his own power rankings, has the Raiders at number 10. So there's a couple folks there who understand the Raiders are kind of moving up. But again, they got to prove it. Now, the issue here, too, is you look at quarterbacks, Derek Carr, right? We've been talking about Derek Carr the last few days after his hot start. CBS has their power rankings for quarterbacks. Where do you think Derek Carr is? Just guess. I mean,
about 15 or 16.
Bingo. 16 behind Carson Wentz and Drew Brees.
And I would argue Carson Wentz.
Yes, I would.
He's
too.
Had one good year in his career, and he hasn't stayed healthy throughout his whole career. Correct. So I have questions about him. But Drew Brees, that's fine.
Yeah. And Wentz is not off to a great start. And so,
no.
You know, if you're doing power rankings, to me, that you're ranking the teams not based on what guys have done in the past or their stats. You're doing it based on wins, who's got a hot hand. And I think Derek Carr, to me, you know, at 16, I could put him a few spots higher, but I think that's fair as well. So
I think that's fine. That's middle of the pack.
Right, right.
And that's what he's proven to be so far. I think that's great. Even though, you know, I think he's doing better right now, but it's only two games. So,
no, exactly.
You know, let's visit this at the 8-game mark and
correct.
See how, you know, everybody's looking.
Correct. And the thing is, Q, you look at this as well, that Raiders team mostly being ranked around 15 makes sense too, because again, we watch them all the time. I mean, I'm out of practice. People here who cover them are out at practice. People like Vinny and JT, they're around the team. So we see it. But like you said, not everybody sees them every day. But listen, it's two games. Again, I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I've been here saying that they've been playing really well for the most part, and they can get better. So, but you have to do things like, okay, so Monday night, great, huge national stage. You win, your offense goes nuts, 34 points, second game in a row, awesome. But guess what? Now you got to go face Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick right. and the Patriots, still, sorry, I know people don't like to hear it, still the story. They're still the story. Until,
without a doubt.
Until they lose or don't make the playoffs again, or that dynasty does show signs of falling off, they're going to be the story. So if you want more respect, guess what you got to go do?
You got to just win, baby.
That's right. Just win, baby.
I mean, still, dog, look, they just had a hell of a game Sunday night with the Seahawks.
Yes, they did.
I mean, that was must-watch TV. I don't care who you're a fan of. That was a bang-bang great game, ended on the one-yard line. I mean, you can't ask for too much more than that.
No. And not only that, Q, but, you know, I've been telling you this since the summer, that I'm a Cam fan. I'm a Cam
yeah.
Newton fan.
And I had to be proven.
Yeah.
I was not on board.
No, I understood. I understand that. And that was fair because, look, the guy hasn't stayed healthy. You've seen some skills decline because of the injuries.
Yep.
But he's come out, and he's been electric. I mean, he's been
yep.
good. He's been solid. He's been running the ball all over the place. And we're going to talk about that, too, later in the week as we get more into the Patriots game and the Raiders doing that, including talking to folks like Ryan McKenna from Patriots Wire tomorrow about Cam Newton specifically, and then Kyle Hightower, our good friend at AP Boston, he'll be on to preview the game on Friday. So a lot going on there, but I like – I like the fact that you continue to hear from the Raider players and coaches. We haven't done anything yet. We had Hunter Renfrow on for his weekly segment yesterday. He said, we're 2-0, but that doesn't mean anything. Okay? So, right. so, and for fans, they should understand that too. Monday's gone. A little bit of halo effect, but now you got to focus on the Patriots. You got to go beat them on the road. Tough game. Your offensive line continues to be battered and injury. Guys have stepped up, but now you have more injuries. So we're going to have to see. That's not making excuses in advance. That's just saying it's already tough to go on the road, to go to Foxborough, beat the Patriots. And then if you're not at full strength, it's going to be even more difficult. Not that they can't do it, Q, but man, that's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be tough, you know, and it's fun. I mean, this is what it's all about.
That's what you want.
Look, John Gruden said that about the Saints on Monday night. He said it's going to kind of give us an idea of where we're at. And I think everyone in Raider Nation, anyone who watched the game, anyone who covered the game like you when you were there, realized where the Raiders' strengths lie and where their weaknesses lie. Yeah. What needs to get better and what is cooking with grease, as I like to say.
I love that. Now, later on, we clean out everybody's ears with the Q-tip, but right now I want to get the temperature of Raider Nation out there. So we go out and we bring in our first caller, Raider 27. You're on with Q and Scott.
Hey, guys. First you guys broke the internet, and now you broke the phone lines.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't even get on yesterday.
I know. It was crazy. People were excited. They wanted to share their excitement over that big win on Monday night.
Man, I tell you what, I'm really happy for you guys. You guys are the best show on this network by far, and I'm glad to see the phone lines so packed that you can't get on it. I'm really happy. I've been with you guys since almost the beginning, and you know it's been a great ride, Scott. You've done a great job, and Q, we're just glad to have you.
Well,
appreciate it.
I'm sorry. No,
we appreciate that, and we're proud of everybody here, starting with Pritch and Clay in the morning, and then JT, of course, and Vinny after us. I mean, I think all the shows just give you a wide variety. They're all different enough that I think you get different things out of them. So we certainly appreciate those kind words and your support.
Yeah, you know, you guys were talking about the power rankings, and it wasn't that long ago I remember looking at the power rankings on Wednesday going, hey, we're up to 27. This is great. You know, and I think we're on the right track. I think we've got a good young team. I think there's a lot more talent on this team that really is actually showing right now. I think we've got a handful of players that are really going to come up, and I think we're just going to get better and better and better. We may need another draft and maybe a free agent to really get to that elite level, but you know what? I think by the end of the year, we're going to have a pretty good football team. I'm pretty excited this year. I'm pretty happy.
Well, man, thank you so much for your call, and I agree. I think you're going to have ups and downs, though. I think with a young defense, Q, especially, man, I think you're going to have and you don't know when they're going to come. Like, you would expect maybe this weekend would be one against the Patriots, right? But maybe they go out and they ball, and then it happens against another team. I just think Raider Nation, don't get too high, don't get too low. Just look for continued progress. All right, we go back on the phone lines. We bring in Brian. Brian, you're on with Scott and Q. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Calling today about there's three players, well, actually four, from the first two games. Well, on Monday, Morrow, with the seven tackles, you know, Joyner also at six. So Morrow and Arnett were tied with the most tackles. You know, Gabe Jackson's been doing pretty good. And Carlson, these are four players that we actually won and fell on in the offseason. I mean, I know the season is still young, but so far, so good. You know, let's keep it up. But also, the three penalties in each of the first two games, that's a good sign. I think a change of scenery could be the thing. Who knows? You know, it's looking good so far, where the Saints were looking like us with the 120 so yards of penalties. Mm-hmm. That's a Raider stat. So,
that's true.
So, you know, then in the third quarter, you know, how Q's been talking about how we've been not scoring enough points in the third quarter, 17-0. We've been holding our opponents. That's pretty good. So our defense, yes, we can do better. But I think we can address that in the offseason. You know, hopefully within time, as the season progresses, we'll get better.
Yeah, I agree, Brian. Great, great call. And that's it. Look, you have to look for improvement. Was the defense perfect? No, they struggled in that first half. Really bad at times. But they came out in the second half, Q, and we talked about it for months. I want to see coaches adjust. It wasn't just about the players, and they certainly did in this game.
Yeah, no, they really did, man. And again, for a unit that struggled early on, to be able to come out and realize that they still had an opportunity to help out and be a difference maker in the game, and that's exactly what they did, man. Mm-hmm. It was awesome, you know. Again, perfect? No. But you could feel encouraged by what you saw.
Yes, you could. All right, we're going to get one more call in before the break. It's Fabian. Fabian, you're on Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Awesome.
Chilling.
Hey, that depth word is coming up again.
The which one?
Depth.
Oh, depth. Yeah, well, no. Yeah, depth. I was like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Death Star? Where are you going? Yeah, well, no, depth is, right? But that's we say it all the time on this show. That's what the NFL is about. You have to have depth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because Simpson did a great job filling in for Richie. And, you didn't even hear who was playing right tackle Monday night. So, obviously, the guys are stepping up, but man, we got to be getting pretty thin on that O-line.
Yeah, I mean, you have Sam Young still nursing that groin, although the good news with Sam Young today was he was limited, which means he's moving around, he's mobile, so maybe hopefully he'll get ready and be there for Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, Q, that's why you have to develop that depth, and guys just have to step up. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and, you know, to his credit, and the Raiders, I mean, they had to elevate another guard from the practice squad to the active roster because of the lack of depth, you know, because Richie Incognito's now on IR and John Simpson's now the guy. So guard Patrick, and I'm going to say it's wrong, Omamehe?
Omame.
I don't know.
Omame.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Smart guy. Anyway, he's being elevated. Apparently, he's appeared in 81 games and made 57 starts over his career with Tampa Bay, Chicago, Jacksonville, the Giants, the Saints. Yeah, so there you go. He's been around.
Journeyman, but that's what you need. When you get down to your third, fourth guy, that's what you're going to have. You're not going to have...
How you say his name again?
Omame.
Omame.
Yeah.
Like, Omame.
Omame. Like, meh.
Oh. Look, let me put a little bit of Southern twang to it.
I love it.
Omame!
All right, that you're up to date on your. I love it, man. That's great. Good stuff. Hey, say it with emphasis, right? That's all you got to do.
Omame!
There you go. I love it. We got to record. We got to rack that one. We're going to step aside for a break. On the other side, we're going to get to one or two phone calls, and then we're going to bring on our friend Ethical Skeptic, who says through his studies, and you can see it on our website, we'll tweet out the link here in a second, that the Raiders have indeed been the victims of bias when it comes to officiating in the NFL, and he has the proof. You're listening to The Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. A little Pearl Jam on the Silver and Black here, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. By the way, Q, I got to tell you something.
All right.
Here, hold on. Okay, there you go. You
know what that was? It?
That was that was Japanese. And Chris Chapman is learning Japanese. And so he was bringing something up on his phone during the break, talking to me and showing me how he's learning Japanese. So I plugged in Chapman is learning Japanese on my translate on my phone. And that's what it gives me.
And you decided you had to pass that on to me.
Yeah, it was, and the audience, because you know, they're interested.
Hey man, look.
Okay, there you go. Japanese. We're internet.
I spent half my life still trying to figure out how to speak Spanish, let alone try to speak some Japanese, man.
It's muy importante.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
I ain't got you. All right, we're back.
Shout out to Mr. Cepeda.
There you go. We're talking Raiders football. Coming up in just a few minutes, the ethical skeptic we tweeted out from our Silver and Black today. By the way, are you following us on Twitter? Make sure you are. At Silver Black, the number 2 day. Of course, at RNR 920 AM for the station. Q is your boy Q254, and I am LV Gully. You got that all? That's okay. You'll find us. Trust me. But we tweeted out the story that we did. It's actually 8 months old because we had Ethical Skeptic on, and we're going to get to him bottom of the hour. If you really felt, and as a fan, as a member of Raider Nation, that the Raiders had a bias against them, then you're going to want to hear this, so don't go anywhere. But first, we're going to go back out on the phone lines again, because we are just jammed up for the second day in a row, and we're going out to Rich. Rich, you're on with Scott and Q here on the Silver and Black today.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Chilling.
Nothing much. Chilling at work. I was just trying to say that I'm excited about starting 2-0, but I feel like in order for us to win in Foxborough, we're going to need a lot more from the D-line. And I'm really just motivated. Like, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or anything about Cleveland Farrell, but I think, man, I don't know, I think Mayock is going to have to take the L on that one, because going over film, you know, watching the game back and everything, Cleveland Farrell's getting handled by tight ends left and right. You know what I mean? He has no type of special, you know, moves to get around the tight, even not even the tight end. You know, you don't put him up against the defensive end because he's not going to do anything, you know. And they're trying to move him to the middle. You're taking snaps away from Mo Hurst. I understand maybe Mo Hurst isn't as good against the run. That's why he's not on the field all the time. I feel like in pass rushing situations, Mo Hurst needs to be on the field. If you notice the interception that Morrow had, Mo Hurst was the one that got the pressure on that one, you know. So I want to see a lot more from Cleveland Farrell, but I don't know if he has it in him. And I also want to see a lot more from Littleton, because we haven't really been seeing. I know he's a great player, but I want to see more from him, you know. And in the future, I know next year, we're going to have to get ourselves free safety. Eric Harris, he's a great person and a great backup, but we need a dog back there with Abrams. Right on, guys.
Good call. Really good call, and I'll say, and you went touched on a lot of things right there, but Eric Harris is a guy I brought up a couple weeks ago after the Carolina Panthers game, and I said, you know, kind of similar to what you said, really good player, but might not be a really good player on a good team, if that makes sense. I think that Eric Harris is a good player on a team that's not very good, but he's an average player on a team that's good, if that makes sense. Does that make sense, Scott?
It does, absolutely, absolutely.
That's kind of where I am with Eric Harris. As far as Corey Littleton, I think that you're seeing the fruits of him being out there already paying off, because the guys that normally are burning the Raiders, the tight ends and the running backs out of the backfield, haven't really done that. I mean, Scott, would you agree with that?
Yeah, no. I mean, look, what was the key to one of the keys of the game on Monday we talked about all last week was containing Jared Cook. Where was Jared Cook in this game?
Exactly.
Nowhere. He was neutralized because of Corey Littleton.
Yeah, I thought so. I think Corey Littleton's been doing a really good job. And as far as Cleve Farrell, he's just going to have to keep working and grinding. And really, I wouldn't stop with just Cleve Farrell. I would talk about Carl Nassib. I would talk about Max Crosby. I would talk about Malik Collins. I would talk about Mo Hurst, even though he did have that pressure that caused that or helped cause that interception. I would talk about each and every one of those cats on the defensive line. They all got to get better.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a key. I think if they're going to win in Foxborough, they have to get better. They have to play better than the second half they played against New Orleans for me to go into Foxborough and win. And by the way, though, with Cleveland Farrell, I'll say this. You know, it's hard sometimes, and I'm not saying, Brian, that if I was watching the game, that I wouldn't necessarily feel like you would. I might. But I will tell you, I watched a bunch of film this morning, Cleveland Farrell's doing more than you see. When you're watching the TV game, the camera goes with the ball, and so you don't necessarily see everything that's going on inside. Some of those plays that happened on the interior line that they made in the second half, including the interception at the end of the first half tomorrow, Farrell was right there and helped disrupt the line and make Drew Brees fall back out of the pocket, and that's why he threw the pick over the middle. So sometimes it doesn't appear they're doing something, but in reality they are. But now you got to take that next step and show it and maybe get into the backfield and start to disrupt the quarterback directly, i.e. sack, because they only have
right.
one sack.
Right, and not only that, Scott, sorry about that, but
that's right.
also the fourth down play against the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, oh, that.
Kind of a big deal.
It is. But Brian, I'm not saying he doesn't need to get better, but he does. So thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. All right. It is time to talk to, and I'll tell you, this is one of the most trafficked stories on our website in the 3 years that we've had the website up. This one has been one of the most popular, and I understand why. But we're bringing in now Ethical Skeptic for us, the Ethical Skeptic website. You can check out ethicalskeptic.com. He has taken over 60 years of data to show that the bias against the Raiders when it comes to officiating is very, very real. In the report he did on this, and remember, the Ethical Skeptic, we don't use a name for him, but he is a former Naval Intelligence Officer, current Corporate Executive Strategy Executive, but he lays out the case in the story, and we bring him in now. Ethical Skeptic, how are you doing on this Wednesday?
Doing well, Scott and Q. It's a pleasure to be on R&R 920 AM in the Silver and Black today.
Right. And now let's do a little background, too, because when you look at this last, you know, we talked to you right at the end of the 2019 season, and we looked at the we'll start right there. Last year, when you look at the Raiders leading the league in penalties for a majority of the season, and not only were they more penalized, and again, the one thing I'll say is so far this year, the Raiders are at the bottom of penalties, but it's only been two games.
Yeah.
But their penalties, it's not just about the number of penalties. It's about the penalties when they come, the times they come. They often come at the worst times, which correlate to a win versus a loss. Tell us a little bit about that and what you saw in 2019.
Yeah, I think that what we're facing is the Raiders are certainly the most penalized team in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, and you can look at that and say, well, they're an aggressive team. They're, you know, sometimes they don't focus on discipline as much, you know, that myth that we all labored under. And say, and you can almost excuse in your mind this idea that they're more penalized for a reason. But when you look in the stats for 2019, not only were they more penalized, but their opponents – the least penalized team in the NFL was whoever happened to be playing the Raiders each week. And that somewhat flies in the face of that philosophy, if you will, the spread between the penalties called against the Raiders and the penalties called against their opponents. That spread was on the order of, I believe it was 96 points per, you know, if you take NFL touchdown or extra points per penalty. It was equivalent to 96 points versus the average NFL team during that season. And what that demonstrates is that not only are the Raiders penalized more, not only are their opponents the least penalized teams in the NFL, but when those penalties are called, that they happen to be on third and long circumstances most often for the offense of the other team. They're at points when the penalty has delivered the crucial blow or the most devastating blow to the Raiders that they possibly can. So you've got that really that triple disadvantage that the Raiders face each year. And when we look at it, it's not only 2019. I went back and looked at 2015, 16, 17, 18. In those years as well, the Raiders were not only the most penalized team, but the least penalized team, again, was whoever happened to be playing the Raiders.
And I know a lot of your research, and I know you've done really dug deep into this, and have had so many people hit me up even about, you know, different research that you've done and just to talk to you about it. A lot of it, if I'm correct, also had to do even with the color of jerseys.
Well, I think there was back in 2012, there was I don't know if it was a study or just an article. Christopher Hansen of the Bleacher Report, indicated that there was some sentiment that the dark costumed nature of both the right. Raiders players and the fans themselves had played into an unconscious systemic bias on the part of the referees. And, you know, I'm sympathetic to that opinion. And this is not accusing referees of cheating.
Right.
I believe that it's a systemic mechanism, something that you address with quality control measures, you know, like when I advise my clients, I'll see systemic biases, as nobody really intends this to happen, but it just becomes the fabric of an operation or a set of calls on the part of executives or officials in this case. That systemic bias has to be countered and consciously filtered out, even though nobody's plotting that. And I think that what was cited in the Christopher Hansen Bleacher Report article in 2012 was that it was not only the color of the jerseys, but it was the costumes that the fans wore and the whole aura, the shtick around the Oakland Coliseum that created this systemic bias in their mind, yes.
Interesting. Again, we're with the Ethical Skeptic talking about bias with Raiders when it comes to officiating. Now, when you looked at last year, one of the things, too, that you did that I thought was really interesting in cutting and dicing this data to really look for answers was you defined the class of penalty, which you kind of mentioned and referred to when you opened up here today, about this discipline class. So these are penalties that when you watch the Raiders, you know, I hear a lot of fans when Raiders get these penalties, they're, oh, well, that's because the coaching, they're not disciplined, you know, things like delay of game, too many players on the field, neutral zone, encroachment, false start, those types of things. The things you can see easily on TV. But when you looked at that, the Raiders were actually very good in that sector. They were at the 80% of the NFL average. Is that right? So what does that mean? If they're not committing those penalties, these are basically judgment calls that are going against them, correct?
That's correct. I think it was week 13 last year where I just got the impression, the subjective impression, you know, we've got a lot of penalties called on us this year, even more than we're typically used to, which is a lot. And so I said, let me sit down and do an analysis of this. And that's when I published the first version of the article that showed, you know, the spread was far and above the difference between penalties for and against was far and above any other team. So I challenged my own notion. I had carried in my own mind this notion that, well, we're penalized more because we're undisciplined. We tend to focus on the aggressive nature of the game, the aggressive aspect of the game.
Right.
And that focus wins games for us, but it also means we're going to get penalized more. Well, that turned out to not be the case at all. In fact, the opposite is true. The Raiders are penalized at 72% by the end of the season. It ended up being 72% of the NFL average for discipline penalties like false start, encroachment, ineligible receiver downfield, illegal shift, neutral zone infraction. Those discipline penalties, they're about in the bottom quartile of the NFL. They're a very disciplined team when it comes down to it. Contrast that with the more subjective calls like, offensive holding, and in the case of the Raiders, roughing the passer, you know, some disqualifications, interference or an illegal chuck. Those more interpretive class penalties, they're penalized at two times the rate of the average team in the NFL. But again, those penalties also happen to come when the Raiders have their opponent in a third and long circumstance. And I believe it was on the order of 40% of the penalties of that class ended up benefiting the opposing team in a touchdown. So it was a devastating impact on 2019 in particular.
I just wonder, and it's been a very small sample size, but what has changed this year so far?
Well, you know, I look back, my website does capture hits and IP hits, and after we published the article and we had our first show, on a podcast, all of a sudden we got a lot of attention, of course. But every Monday at 10 o'clock, I would get a slew of hits out of New York, corporate hits out of New York. and you look back at the off season, and we had the announcement. I don't know the outcome of this, but I think the Bleacher Report reported in December of 2019 that the NFL was planning a thorough top-down review of the league's officiating during the 2020 off season. That came a month and a half after the release of our article, and really 3 weeks after we started getting these New York corporate IP hits.
Yeah, and I was told, and I think we last time we talked, Ethical Skeptic, I told you that I had talked to somebody inside the Raider organization who had knowledge, and they had officially had been talking to the NFL about the issue of bias against the franchise. So it wasn't just fans. You know, we have some people tweeting at us now saying, "Oh, every fan base thinks that their team is has bias against it." But at the same time, this data, it mirrors other data. That's the thing. Is you've done this on your own and on your website and all of that with your background, but the idea that this is the only view or this is the only cut of data and only group of people listening to it versus, you know, like you said, those IP hits coming to you from a certain domain in New York, it shows that, look, the NFL probably had some officiating, and like you've always said, that bias doesn't mean the referees go out before every game and say, okay, we're going to call this against the Raiders. It just becomes an inherent bias because it's been passed down and it's become something of an unknown bias. They don't even know it's happening, but nonetheless, it is there and the data shows it.
That's correct. I also restrained myself with that. Every team, every fan believes that they're penalized more heavily than every other team in any kind of interpretive league sports. And if you look back at it, since 1963, the Raiders have led as the most penalized team each season for a third to a half of those seasons. The fact that we would tolerate that, in fact, is of all the seasons since 1963, there are only a handful where the Raiders were even at the average or the middle of the pack. Most of the time, the preponderance of the time, and I'm talking 90th percentile, Raiders are number four or higher in terms of most penalized team in the NFL. So we carried this constraint, this self-restraint, where we said, hey, I'm not going to raise a stink about it because everybody thinks that their team is penalized more. It's just that 2019 went far beyond even the history, the sordid history of this this penalty base. That's when we had to speak up. I think there was no doubt that the executives and the players in the Raider organization saw this. And it's not a matter of, you know, like professional wrestling where you get thrown out of the ring, you're the bad guy shtick in professional wrestling. You get thrown out of the ring, the good guy parades around with his arms in the air, everybody goes home happy. In this case, this is not a victimless crime, if you will. I'm using crime in quotes here. This hurts a city. It hurts an organization. It hurts players' chances for the Hall of Fame. It hurts coaches. Raider coaches are penalized 26, 27, 30% more as a Raider coach than their performances both before and after being a Raider head coach. This hurts people. It hurts organizations. And if it's the give and take of a normal season, that's one thing. That's the breaks of business, the breaks of life. But when it's systemic bias, the onus falls ethically on the organization to put a quality control program in place. In fact, that's part of what I do professionally and advise corporations this way.
Yeah, and Skeptic, I think too that's the whole point, right? This article and this research you did was not intended to just bring attention to yourself. It was to call it out and to get the attention of the NFL. And it appears maybe that happened. I mean, maybe the move to Las Vegas, maybe the fact that this has all changed, maybe that will change too. Maybe they've addressed it internally with the officiating. We'll have to see the rest of the season how it all works out, and we'll definitely get back with you towards the end of the season and see what's going on. But Ethical Skeptic, you can check him out, ethicalskeptic.com. Also check him out on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Scott and Q. Enjoyed it.
All right. Well, there you go. There you go.
Now Raider Nation is going to be burning.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be burning. And we have some journalists tweeting, oh, fans, that's all they'd say. Everybody agrees. But you know what? It's compelling. Again, it doesn't mean that he's proven it without – it's not a court of law. It's not evidence that shows it. But it's very compelling. And as he said, I mean – and I've seen this. I've seen the proof of it, by the way, that he did. He had a swamp of NFL.com URLs reading his stuff for months. So clearly it got their attention, and that's a good thing. If you can make the game better, if you can help a team that maybe there is a built-in bias, then that's great, and that would be great for Raider fans. But anyway, we're going to step aside for a break, and then we'll come back. We'll get a couple calls in before the top of the hour. Top of the hour, of course, we'll come back, and Nick Shook from NFL.com, he's going to talk Darren Waller with us. You're listening to Scott and Q here on the Silver and Black Today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, only on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, powered by Salmon Ash. Visit them at salmonash.com because you deserve what's right. And you do, because you're Raider Nation, and you deserve it. Anyway, we're back. We got a couple minutes before the top of the hour. Again, at the top of the hour, Nick Shook from NFL.com. We're going to talk Darren Waller and some things you might not have noticed. You got the catches. Yeah, you got the touchdown, the yardage. But what else did he do? There's some really interesting data and statistics from his big night on Monday that we'll get into as well. And so we'll talk all things Darren Waller, as well as get to maybe we'll sneak in one more phone call here before we got to go. And we're going to go out to Denver. Our man, Raider Dave, who never, ever disappoints. Raider Dave.
Oh, man, you're painting such a picture. I'm going to falter one of these times. Hey, I wonder what's going on in Gruden's defense, in Gunther's defense, where these guys just can't get off blocks and stop the run in the first couple, 3 yards on a lot of plays. It seems like they're just locked up on guys. And with Cam Newton, that's going to hurt. So they need to have some sort of clock coached into their head that after 2 seconds, they have got to shove off and get off their blocks. Otherwise, Newton's going to go ahead and run right past them.
Yeah, you know, Dave, I think, and Q, tell me, I think you agree with me on this one, Q, because we talked about it yesterday. I think, Dave, it's conditioning. I don't think they're in football shape yet, and so they're a little bit behind.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, it takes a while to get into football shape. You can practice, you can run, you can do all the exercising you want, but there's nothing that you can ever replace and still take the place of being on the grass and actually being in football shape. There's no way you could do that. So they're just going to have to work themselves into football shape.
Yeah, and I think that we've said it, and in your post-game analysis, Q, you said it both here and on your podcast, that, look, the offense is going to be ahead of the defense, okay? And so I think that's what you're seeing. I really believe that. I believe you'll start to see these guys push off and get around some blocks as they get into week 3 and 4. They really need to do it in New England for the point you mentioned, which is Cam Newton. You don't want him to run all over you. And Q, by the way, I gotta address this right, because we only got about a minute and a half before we go to a break, but this Tyrod Taylor thing, man, how crazy is
that? Absolutely nuts, man. And it's just getting crazier by the second as well. You know, this team doctor apparently has had a few run-ins that don't make him look like a very good dude, and kind of makes the Chargers look pretty bad too.
Well, the Charger organization has all kinds of issues. But this one, you're talking about, you puncture somebody's lung, and fortunately they're in a situation where they got him to a hospital pretty quickly. But, you know, that can result in death. And the fact that Tyrod Taylor now is going to miss probably 4 weeks is remarkable, because of this guy not being able to inject this player the right way. Just scary, scary stuff, man. I mean, it's not something to make light of because of the rivalry between the Chargers and the Raiders.
No, not at all.
But, man, just glad he's okay, and hopefully he heals up all right. So we're done with hour number one, Q. Went by quick.
Yeah, really. Real quick, the Chargers doctor before this one has had 2 DUIs, been raided by the DEA for writing himself 108 prescriptions, malpractice for severing a patient's artery, malpractice lawsuits for multiple career-ending misdiagnoses, loses surgery license in 2013.
Wow.
That's according to Zach Schwartz from Yahoo Sports.
Wow. you know what, though? Apples don't fall from the tree. And when you have an organization that is just garbage, that's what happens. So, gosh, again, hopefully Tyrod Taylor gets healthy quick. All right, going to step aside. Top of the hour. When we come back, Nick Shook from NFL.com. He's going to talk all things about the baller, Darren Waller. You're listening to the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.